Thanks, Ryan, for leading us in prayer. So yeah, we'll be looking at Ezekiel 36, verse 25. So you can go ahead and turn there in your Bible. And our verse talks about cleaning. How many of you like cleaning? Or how many of you guys have had a big mess that you felt overwhelmed by? No. Even like a small thing, like you knock over your drink, and I'm like, how did it make that big of a puddle? And you got to go look for a mop and some water and some soap to clean it up. Many times our precious kids have surprised us by making a big mess to clean up. Like once they unzipped the beanbag cushion in their room, and we went into their room to find the little white pellets from the beanbag cushion everywhere. Like a snowstorm had entered the room somehow. Now, luckily, these messes were able to clean up. But in our passage, it's talking about a mess that is so bad that people couldn't clean it up, no matter how hard they tried. But our verse is a promise of hope, that God promises to cleanse the uncleansable. Let's read it. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. In our verse, we see God's promise to cleanse the uncleansable. God's promise to cleanse the uncleansable. For in the context of our passage here in Ezekiel, God's people are in a mess. What do they need cleaned up from? Well, we see it here, from all their uncleanness, from all their idols. If we look just before this, in verse 17, it talks about this. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. And the result of that was God's judgment. We see that in verse 18 and 19. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. Ezekiel is here with God's people in exile, stuck in a pit of sin and judgment. Verse 25 mentions the sprinkling of clean water. This is referring to the practice in the Old Testament of sprinkling water or blood on something to purify it, like we read about and talked about earlier from Leviticus 16. But these practices didn't address the root need, the people's deepest need. It's impossible for the sprinkling of water or the sprinkling of the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Sin had left its mark, like a permanent marker on their hearts that they could not wash away. God's people tried. They tried it again and again to keep God's law in the Old Testament. But they kept falling into sin again and again. They were defiled. They had no hope of cleansing because they needed a new heart. They needed someone else to cleanse them. But God promises restoration here. God promises to restore them and bring them back to their land, as you see before this in verse 22 through 24. And not only that, but he promises to clean them from all their uncleanness. What an amazing promise this is. And this promise is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For the Old Testament practices of cleaning with water or blood were pictures, pointing forward to the ultimate cleaning work that Jesus would do on the cross through his blood shed for us. The people in exile here were looking forward to that day when God would cleanse his people. And now that day has happened, brothers and sisters. It's happened. God's promise has been fulfilled by Jesus once for all. As it says in Hebrews 10, you know, the priest's daily sacrifices could never take away sins, but Christ, by the single offering, perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus' blood washed clean our heart and gave us a new pure heart. And so for all Christians, we have now a new identity, clean, declared clean. And now, by the Spirit, God is sanctifying us to reflect that identity more, day by day, helping us grow in holiness, till one day, on that day, when we will be presented spotless, cleansed from all our uncleannesses. So how should we respond to this amazing promise? First, we should rejoice in God's cleansing. Rejoice in God's cleansing. Friends, do you realize the great mess we would be in if it weren't for God's cleansing work in you? We would still be enslaved by all kinds of uncleanliness. We'd still be worshiping false gods, and we'd be awaiting the judgment of a holy God. But for all who have trusted in Jesus to cleanse them, he has washed us white as snow. So sing songs with joyful hearts, like, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Share your joy by sharing these truths with others. One way that my wife and I seek to do this with our kids is when we give them a bath, we sing a song, our own version of the bath song by the Donut Man. And our version goes like this: "When I take a bath, I think about the Lord and how he washed away my sin. Let me tell you more. He died on the cross for my sin and rose again on the third day. Jesus fills me up with hope and washes me white like super soap. When I take a bath, I think about the Lord." So when you take a bath, think about the Lord, how he has washed away all your sins. When you watch someone get baptized, as a picture of them being washed clean from all their uncleanliness, rejoice with them and rejoice remembering how God has cleansed you from all your sin. But before you rejoice, consider that this promise is only for those who have put their trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of their sin. Have you trusted in Jesus' blood alone to save you? Or are you trying to clean yourself by human effort, by going to church, by keeping a list of rules? Do you view your sin like a child's mess that you can just cover up or mop up? Friends, no actions we do, no other person, no other God, no other religion can cleanse us from our sin. No matter how hard we try to rub it away, it will remain. And if our sin is not healed, it will kill us, and we will experience the eternal fire of God's judgment, separated from him forever. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So trust in Jesus today for your only hope for cleansing. Accept his gift of his blood shed for you to wash you clean. Turn from your sin to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you too can rejoice in being clean by God's power. So rejoice in God's cleansing. And second, we should trust in God's cleansing power. Trust in God's cleansing power. Now here in verse 25, who does it say will clean them? Will the Israelites get it together and clean up their own mess and find a mop? Something like that? No. God says, I will clean you from all your uncleanness. God steps in to clean the mess of his people. And God is working in his spirit to clean them, to grow them in holiness, to one day present them as holy, and to be with them forever. In your battle against sin, are you relying on your own strength to cleanse you? Or are you trusting in God's power to cleanse you? Trust in God's power and walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Are you discouraged by sin? Do you have a sin that you feel is too bad for cleansing? Or an idol that has such a grip on your heart that you feel enslaved to it? Look at verse 25. Which sins does God promise to cleanse? All uncleanliness. All idols. No stain is too bad. No idol is too big for Jesus to cleanse. One of the best ways we can trust in God's power to cleanse is by praying. J. Garrett Kell, in his booklet, How Do I Fight Sin and Temptation, offers four helpful suggestions for prayer. The first one is pray before temptation. Pray before temptation. At the beginning of the day, or before you enter a situation where you know you might be tempted, pray for God's help, trusting in his power for victory. Second, pray during temptation. Pray during temptation. The scripture is filled with brief prayers that you can model your cry of help after, such as in Matthew 15, verse 25, Lord, help me. Third, pray after temptation. Pray after temptation. If by God's grace, when you're tempted, you overcome it, rejoice. Praise God for his help. And if you stumble and fall into sin, turn from your sin. Repent. Confess to God your sin, trusting in his forgiveness for you. And fourth, pray with others. God has given us a church to grow together in holiness. Ask them to join you in calling out for God's cleansing power to work in your life. Friends, our sin is not like the stain on a wall that we can just paint over, or a stain on your shirt that you can just wash in the laundry machine. No matter how hard we try on our own strength, we can never clean up the mess of our sin. But remember God's promise to cleanse the uncleansable. Rejoice in this and trust in God's power to cleanse you. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all our sin. And we look forward to the day when we will be clean from all our uncleanliness and cleansed from all our idols, and we will be with you in paradise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.